Hello, Sunday school teachers, and we welcome you once again to our podcast. So sorry for the later notice on this. This is Wednesday evening here as I'm recording this, and had a cancellation for our special guest that was supposed to be there this past week, but we're looking forward to having this special guest back on for a future episode, and I've got some other ideas for future guests as well. So this week, well, just a little bit about me. I'm recording this week. I just got done going to a conference at the St. Louis Seminary. It was on confirmation and the catechism, and it was a really fantastic conference, actually. I learned a lot, and of course would be happy to talk to you more about that too. But I think you'll see hopefully some practical applications of that in my preaching and in my teaching as well. So our story this week coming up for Sunday school is the story of Samson. And in the lesson planning, it only lists chapter 16 there, but the story of Samson really goes back to Judges chapter 13. So I'm going to go back there for a little bit and give you a brief background on that. However, I just realized I neglected to pray, so we'll start with that and then we'll jump on in. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, and we ask that you would continue to bless us as we study, learn, and grow in your word through all the gifts you have given to us. Thank you for Samson and his life and his story, and we ask that you would send that same Spirit and God who was with your people during the time of Samson into our lives as well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. At any rate, I'm going to have my special guest again for a little variety for you, since I don't think you want to listen to me talk for a long time. Let's go ahead and we'll hear from the beginning of the Samson story from Judges chapter 13.
Judges 13. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her,
Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines.
Then the woman came and told her husband,
A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name, but he said to me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death.
Okay, we're going to stop there. And interesting that Samson is one of only a couple of people who is set apart by God even before he is conceived. The angel of the Lord comes there, and you can hear that in the different voice there, and announces his birth. So there are only three other people in the Bible that had their birth announced. It was Isaac in the Old Testament, as God appeared to Abraham and to Sarah. Also John the Baptist, as God appeared to Zechariah in the midst of the temple. And of course, Jesus himself. So this was also kind of a miraculous conception as well, because you heard that Samson's mother was barren, and so that was another miracle. So definitely something special by the hand of God. Now, the other thing there is that you hear the term Nazarite in verse 5. Nazarite means that someone who is set apart there. And it's usually given to someone who takes a special vow. And among that special vow are things that, you know, they're not supposed to drink any wine or fermented drink. They're also not supposed to cut their hair either, but they were people that were to be set apart from all the other people in service of the Lord. So this is interesting, too, because we'll see how Samson parallels Christ himself. One of the things, of course, that people often think of with Samson, of course, is linking him to great strength and physical power. So that's one thing that we'll see throughout some of these stories. But I want to give you a little insight into the character of Samson. So we're going to jump in and skip over the rest of chapter 13, but we're going to jump into chapter 14 here, and then we're going to hear a little clip about the character of Samson and his marriage. Kind of see some things that will be important to our the real heart of our story later on. So here's Judges chapter 14.
Judges 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother,
"I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife."
But his father and mother said to him,
"Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people,
that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?"
But Samson said to his father,
"Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes."
His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him, roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes.
Okay, we'll pause there. It's actually a little bit longer clip than what I was intending to give you, but just want to hear, again, his attraction to women is a theme that's there. So he saw as attractive one of the daughters of the Philistines. That's one of the enemies. So, you know, for all of us as Cardinals fans, it would be as if your children were to go and start dating a Cubs fan or something like that. Well, probably not like that, but you get that. So you can understand a little bit why his parents were so upset. We also get a little glimpse in the end of that passage of Samson's strength to go and literally just take on a full-fledged lion with his bare hands and just rip it apart. And that's kind of the beginning of the strength. And we'll see, one of the things we left off at the end of chapter 13 is that the Lord gave strength to him way back in the beginning. And we'll see that strength come up, you know, throughout chapters 14 and 15. So that might be something that unfortunately we don't have time to go through right now. But we see at the end of 14, it says he went down to a city, enemy city, and struck down 30 men of the town and then gives them garments. We see how Samson defeats the Philistines in chapter 15. He does things like he takes the jawbone of a goat or a jawbone of a donkey and strikes down 1,000 men. And just remarkable strength there that he does. You know, there's another thing where I think that's him, I'm not sure. He ties the tails of foxes together with fire and just sets them loose over the camp as well. So lots of just very incredible stories of great power there. So naturally, he's seen as a great enemy to the Philistines, who is, again, another nation that is the enemy of God's people. And so the story that we're going to, or the chunk of the story that we're going to spend most of our time with today is from chapter 16. So chapter 16 is the story of Samson and Delilah. And Delilah is another attractive, or a woman that is attractive to Samson. And we'll just hear what happens with regards to his promises and with regards to Samson's strengths. We'll go ahead and listen to this.
Judges 16. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. The Gazites were told,
"Samson has come here."
And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying,
"Let us wait till the light of the morning, then we will kill him."
But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her,
"Seduce him, and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver."
So Delilah said to Samson,
"Please, tell me where your great strength lies, and how you might be bound that one could subdue you."
Samson said to her,
"If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man."
Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him,
"The Philistines are upon you, Samson."
But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known.
Okay, we'll pause there. You can tell there's some euphemisms that the Bible uses for having sexual intercourse there, going into her in 16 verse 1. So that's not one of the sections I would probably advise reading to your Sunday school kids. But at any rate, I love the maniacal tone that they have of the enemies trying to capture Samson throughout the readings there on the audio. But again, the enemies try and get to Samson through the woman. So you have that scene of Delilah trying to entice him and, really try and share the source of his strength. So the secret here is that the source of his strength actually lies with God. That's one big detail that sometimes gets overlooked. But again, Samson neglects to reveal that to Delilah there. So we'll see how it continues to play out, beginning at verse 10.
Then Delilah said to Samson,
"Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please, tell me how you might be bound."
And he said to her,
"If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man."
So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him,
"The Philistines are upon you, Samson."
And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber. But he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread.
Okay, so we have it a second time, and it's just this dramatic audio just kind of makes me smile here with Delilah really kind of putting the emotions into it, and then you can hear the machismo Samson there. But the bottom line is that Samson, again, tricked Delilah again and did not reveal the source of his true strength. So, naturally, I would say if you were in Delilah's shoes, you'd be pretty upset. So let's see how upset her voice sounds as the story continues.
Then Delilah said to Samson,
"Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound."
And he said to her,
"If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man."
So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him,
"The Philistines are upon you, Samson."
But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web.
Okay, so once again, Samson does not reveal, and naturally Delilah is probably getting even more frustrated with everything. So let's hear how that continues.
And she said to him,
"How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies."
And when she pressed him hard with her words, day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart, and said to her,
"A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man."
When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying,
"Come up again, for he has told me all his heart."
Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said,
"The Philistines are upon you, Samson."
And he awoke from his sleep and said,
"I will go out as at other times and shake myself free."
But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved.
Okay, so finally this time Samson gives in after some really relentless pressuring from Delilah. It says day by day. She did not cease to do that. Finally, this is the first time where Samson at least hints at the fact that it's God that gave the strength. And then even in verse 20, it's that key verse. Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. Again, that's the key source of his strength. It wasn't that he had superpowered hair, but it was that he was special to God, and God chose to leave him when Samson betrayed his own identity as a child of God to go along with the identity of Delilah and the Philistines. Pretty cruel punishment, too. The Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and brought him down Gaza, that's one of the enemy cities, and bound him with shackles and forced him to slave labor, and his hair began to grow back again. Kind of an interesting detail there. But yet, even in spite of all that, we see how the story plays out. So let's continue and see this. This is called the Death of Samson.
Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice. And they said,
"Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands."
And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said,
"Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country who has killed many of us."
And when their hearts were merry, they said,
"Call Samson, that he may entertain us."
So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand,
"Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them."
Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women, who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said,
"O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once. O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my 2 eyes.
And Samson grasped the 2 middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said,
"Let me die with the Philistines."
Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah his father. He had judged Israel 20 years.
So there you have it, with the story of Samson there. Choosing to sacrifice his life, you know, God gives him the strength back one more time. A couple of points here, you know, this does talk about suicide a little bit, so this might be something that people might ask, and a lot of controversy, well, a lot of stuff has been written about that, and, you know, what God thinks of it. You know, in this case, I think this is a good case that often doesn't get brought up, suicide is a sin. You know, it's murder, a murder of yourself. But suicide is not a damnable sin. In other words, whenever someone commits suicide, it is not an automatic thing that they go to hell. The most important thing that gets us to heaven is having a relationship with Jesus. I mean, for everybody. And I believe firmly and completely that it is still very possible to have a relationship with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, even if one were to make a decision to end their own life. And I think this example of Samson is one example of that. That he clearly saw himself as the Lord's with his prayer. You know, he understood what he had to do, and he was understood the, you know, the punishment. You know, that he had done something wrong, and he understood the consequences of the actions that he was about to do, but yet a way in which the Lord saved his people. Now, you look at this too, you know, if Jesus was foretold by an angel coming to his mother that he was going to be born, we also have Samson foretold of his birth by an angel as well. We have Samson dying on behalf of the entire nation of Israel, and yet we also see Jesus, of course, dying for the sins of the whole world. So there's a lot of, those are the two big Christ images in this story that you can really use as a handle for your preaching, for your teaching, and for all of those words that you'll be doing in the classroom there. Trying to think if there's anything else that needs to be talked about here. I don't think so. Some parts of this audio Bible kind of made me smile a little bit. Hopefully it did for you too. You know, all the grunting and groaning of pushing down the pillars and whatnot. But to me, I just think it helped bring it alive and bring these stories to life that are more than just words on a page. Okay, let's shift gears for a little bit here, and we'll talk about some activities and perhaps handles. For the littles, I think there are some, you know, concrete details of the story that you could bring in to illustrate. You know, again, one of the things with Samson was the fact that he had long hair, so you can, you know, bring in pictures of people with long hair, or, you know, talk about lengthy hair and what that might mean. Other things that might be kind of fun is one thing that I did when I taught about Samson in a junior high school retreat is I had a little sort of Olympic type things where I would have these different sort of strength challenges, you know, to see how fast people could run and how much they could lift and move around and things like that. And you can definitely do that with little kids that they would enjoy. You know, obviously do things that are safe. You know, perhaps they have some, you know, toy blocks or bricks. You know, you can see how much of those you can lift heavily. Perhaps just stuff things into a backpack and see how easy it is for them to strong like Samson and lift those up. I mean, those are a couple of handles there that you could turn to as well. Other aspects of it, that probably would be the other thing. Then just point to Christ, obviously, for those littles. Now, for the more abstract things, I would say, again, focusing on the gift of strength. You know, that it was God's gift of strength. So think about, you know, what are some gifts that God has given to you? You know, how are ways that we use those gifts appropriately? How are some ways that we not use those gifts appropriately to what God had in mind? And that's true for a lot of things. You need to help with that. The Ten Commandments are a great great way to look into greater depth at this, because each one of the Ten Commandments focuses on a gift that God has given to us. And God, in his, gave to Martin Luther the words to write with the explanation. And each explanation, again, focuses on that very thing. Here are some ways to use appropriately the gift that God has given, and here are some ways to not use appropriately the gift that God has given to you. That might be one handle. You could also talk about and just be upfront and direct with like a middle school and high school. You know, speak directly towards faithful marriages and, the importance of marrying somebody that also has a Christian worldview is huge. You know, it's never too early to start, getting that into their minds as well. Let's see here. You could also bring up the aspect of suicide like we talked about before if you really want to dig down deep, or even related to that, you know, what does God think about serving in the military? You know, is it okay to be willing to die for a nation or on behalf of your country? I mean, you could talk about that a little bit as well. But again, with the older kids too, you know, see the parallels in this story very clearly with Jesus Christ as well, the Immaculate Birth, and then especially with his sacrificial death. And this might be a handle too. This is a story that is true in a lot of our popular stories too. You have a lot of people that will, you know, die the life of a hero, you know, giving of themselves for the sake of a greater good or a greater cause. So you could have them brainstorm and think of a whole bunch of movies and TV shows that have this in there. It was in Once Upon a Time that we're watching with our family. Harry Potter focused on this one. I mean, there's a whole handful of other ones that are too numerous to even mention here that you could use that reflect Samson's story and obviously can be a pointer towards Christ as well. All right, so those hopefully will give you a little better handle there. Now the law and the gospel. The law in this one, I think, is just Samson and his character. I mean, he kind of doomed destruction upon himself. So I would say the summary of the law for this one is, be cautious with the gifts that God gives to you. Might be one way that I would put it, kind of the application part of it. And perhaps the gospel part is, again, God's deliverance as well. God continuing to deliver his people. God continuing to provide his people, even at the cost of the death of somebody. So I guess my gospel statement would basically be the same. You know, God delivers us from our enemies of sin, death, and hell. Again, for those of you that have been listening to this, you know that it's probably not that much different than before, too. Okay, so again, that's my brief overview. Again, I apologize for you having to listen to me talk to you for so long this time. We'll get some guests back on for the next couple of podcasts to get a little more variety there. But that being said, we wish you God's blessings as you teach this coming weekend, and we'll close in saying a prayer for you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank and praise you for all of our Sunday school teachers here at Holy Cross. We also thank you for delivering your people through Samson and his death and the work that he had done. And Lord, we also ask that you would continue to remind us of how you have delivered us from our sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Lord, we know you have blessed us with so many gifts in our lives as well. Help us to use those gifts appropriately and to your glory as we serve all those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks once again, and we will talk to you next week.